I believe the liturgy today, what we hear in the readings, seems to focus around the idea of personal integrity. And that's one of the qualities we should want to carry with us always in this life. We talk about it. It's a word that's thrown around almost cliché-ish. But it's surely one of the areas that God will certainly look at on our day of judgment. Integrity can mean wholeness. It can mean being complete, not divided in any way, whether it be physically, spiritually, or emotionally. It may mean that we have the quality and every quality that we should have and nothing in the wrong place. And it could mean being well-rounded, that you're as poetic as you are rational, as visionary as practical, and as imaginative as realistic. Integrity of character avoids any and all kinds of duplicity, deception, artificiality, or even shallowness. But one of the difficulties that's troubling with developing integrity is that it is most easily done in reflective silence. But that doesn't mean we can't publicly talk about it either. What it means is that we ought to consider doing a daily self-examination of when and where and how we ought to live out the teachings of Christ in our own sacred spaces of prayer. And what a beautiful thing to do right before we begin the season of Lent, to understand that each and every one of us needs to do that daily self-examination. And we focus on that especially during Lent. So Jesus applies this principle of integrity with oneself and having positive judgment of others to several areas. For one thing, there isn't much sense to leaders trying to guide others until the leaders have been there themselves. And for another thing, we ought to have enough integrity to see ourselves honestly as well as others. Jesus must have been exercising a certain sense of humor when he compared a splinter in the neighbor's eye with a whole wooden beam in one's own. To the Christian disciple who's concerned with the faults of another and ignores his own, Jesus applies the strong, emphatic word, hypocrite, a designation he has only previously given to scribes and Pharisees, that is, religious leaders. What Jesus probably is really saying is that our internal dispositions reveal themselves in external actions. Many times, we often like to cover our own failings by pointing out the other's failing first. It may make us feel superior to the other. But the way of Jesus tells us to be very different. First, we must take a look at the mirror that is in front of us and begin that inner process of conversion before taking on the task of fraternal correction. And notice Jesus doesn't say, don't judge others. He only says to look at ourselves first and convert our hearts before we are able to correct others. In Sirach, our first reading, it says that people's faults appear when they speak, especially when they speak and aren't considering the words. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's easy to hide behind masks. But conversation, the way we talk, reveals our inner thoughts, no matter how careful we are to dissemble. Speech is a means of testing the inner character of a person. because what comes in speech betrays what's in our heart. And so what Sirach teaches us is very relevant for human integrity in today's world of public relations, image making, sound bites, and slogans. Through speech, God gave us as humans the ability to communicate in greater detail more than any other creature on the earth. Speech is mightier than fighting. Speech can be poetry. Speech is civilization itself. Speech was made to open us and create relationships between one person and the other. And speech is a mirror of our soul. As a person speaks, so they are. If we need motivation towards this integrity that we long for, today's reading, in the second reading from Paul, gives us that motivation. And in that chapter, Paul asserts that belief in the resurrection of the Lord implies belief in the resurrection of the faithful. And so we understand that Paul's own experience of the risen Lord and his life of hardship focused his attention on the life beyond the present world. Our new life in Jesus renders insignificant the physical death that appears so final and complete to those who don't see life in terms of the eternal life of Christ. And so our entire goal is to respond to God's call to new life with the risen Lord, a life that results both from his gift and our efforts. It comes from grace. We are moved towards God through gift first, and we respond to that gift. Fulfillment of that goal is infinitely worth the struggle involved in retaining our integrity. And aren't our children sometimes the best of judges in our integrity versus phoniness? They're not impressed by false fronts or even by the masks that we can tend to wear as parents. Right, Roman? We can't fake integrity. We can't hide it. So why don't we ask God for the grace in prayer to try to develop it?